at all. Because they called me Somber, the Somber One, in India. And when I would go visit, and a few years that I was raised in India, that's what I was known as, the Somber Child. But subhanAllah, then later, it happened. And that's traditionally what happens in the Islamic culture. The children should be acquiring and collecting, and then all of a sudden they have amazing wisdom to say. In fact, Daria herself followed, in my footsteps, because her teachers, when she did go to Islamic school, were very worried that she had trouble folks. They were very concerned whether she understood the concept or not. And the next year, she had some of the same teachers, and they were just astonished that she remembered everything that was spoken about the previous year. And so I had reminded them, yeah, it wasn't really concerned, because this is her name, to be aware and to observe. So, alhamdulillah. So this is the significance of some. So if one is constantly talking, here's a question. If we're constantly talking, can we be with Allah? The answer is yes, actually. We didn't have to be so afraid. Actually, the answer is yes. Because we are, when we're with people, when we're socializing, inshallah, and we should be. And we should be practicing that. If we don't have that sense, then we should be practicing it. So yes, we can be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should be. But can we hear a response from Him? If we're conversing with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, can we hear a response when we're around a lot of talk going on? That we can't. So everyone has to have this time of quiet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the most of the day in our private life should be spent in silence. Obviously not when you have kids and they're asking questions at the younger age. Mothers, you know, dream about that time when they can have some quietude. But alhamdulillah, everyone gets it. At some point, you want to. This is why the ulama, the awliya, they are yearning for their halwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, the ulama have to give and they have to speak. When they're with people, they're asked questions and so on. But what is their utmost yearning? What was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's utmost yearning? To be alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't, he was very pleased and known to have his retreat in the cave, Hira, and so we know that this is the practice of all the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the awliya, and the ulama. But they also continue this when they're with people, because they've been practicing when they're alone. So this is the key. When we're in our private time at home, most of the time should be silent. If there's no kids around, because kids have a right to their questions to be answered. And that also is a test for mothers, for parents, to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the kids. So through any relation, we have to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that relation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will invite us to the solitude, the solitary time with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where we get to hear the responses from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the secret of how the awliya are able to see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that when they're with people or they're in huge crowds, they can know and have a sense what to do next. Every moment they're looking for signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've said this many, many times, but I've never seen anyone practice this except the Sheikh Muhammad Hafidhullah, where literally you can see whether he's about to move to, if he's walking to the next corner, if there's a change and he gets a different sign, he'll move with the sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how they get those signs, literally, continually, of what they're supposed to do when they're out and about in their day. And of course, because they're monitoring their time when they're in the private life. So this is a huge example for us. Even if we get a little bit of this wisdom, inshallah ta'ala, it would benefit all of us, bismillah. The other thing I wanted to mention is about the era. So this era that we live in, the secret of happiness to it is to live in more than one world. And this is actually what a business writer said. Peter Drucker said this. The secret to happiness is to live in more than one world. And it applies in the Islamic culture. This is what we mean by, particularly in the age that we live in, how can we get through even a day of these kinds of extremes that we're talking about, where we have no idea what we're about to face in the world, yet we should have a semblance and be ready for it with the most appropriate response as the Sunnah expects us to. So how do we do that? We do that by apportioning our Akhirah first. The day should be apportioned for the Akhirah, and whatever time we have left is for the Dunya. That's how we live in more than one world. So constantly we have these pictures of the Akhirah. So psychologists talk about this. Those who are successful have these pictures in their mind. Isn't that what they said for that secret, that silly movie? They're calling it The Secret and promoting it. I don't know if you all know about that. Such a silly, silly movie. Because it's such a simple, I mean, millions, I don't know if it was billion, but millions percent on this promoting this movie, people going to see it, and I don't know how people should, protest. how could there be such a big promotion, a waste of money on something so simple? Just ask any Muslim, a child, a Muslim child knows this. You just dream about it, and inshallah, Allah gives it to you. Many children know that, you know, that if they think about it, because they have quality pictures in their mind, and then, you know, you can, they understand the concept of making dua. When you tell a child, you know, when they're asking for something, you can be sure they're imagining it. They have a picture in their mind, and this does allow us to move towards it. So we should have this picture of the Akhirah continually before us, and this is how we apportion our day, and then whatever's left. So that's how we get the success of this. And literally, I also mean by this that we should live literally like this. Because last session, I was asked a question about should we move out of America because of all these various things happening here that are unstable. In America, but it's pretty much all over the world. But the answer to that would be to have an open door